Sunday.
Yes, you can start.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, PM and CG and officials. And I think we apologize for starting late because we're still in our meeting as the control committee. Apologies for that. Without any waste of time, we have received how many apologies? Apology to the minister. She's giving a the apology to the minister, or what are you saying here? Apology to honorable sheriff, not the apology to minister. Apology to young right, apology to minister. Apology to minister and apology to honorable sheriff. And there's no other one. All our members, I'm sure they are in. The other member maybe who have been locked in, honorable Masiko, because she was flying back home from Cape Town. So I'm not sure whether she's in now or she's still traveling. And then, honorable members, thank you very much for coming. Without any waste of time, let's give the department the opportunity to make their presentation. But the department must start with the item that we ended with in our meeting on Tuesday. The one of the appointments of somebody in their department. Can the CG or you, SDM, start with that one?
CG? Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Chairperson. The DG will come in straight away. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, dear. DG?
Oh, sorry. I was.
You're muted.
Muted, yes. The last point of Wednesday, the last point of Wednesday, I was informed that the minister sent a response to the portfolio committee. So I'm not sure whether the chair still wants to refer to the letter.
What did the departmental response? Tell us what are you saying? Because you are trending. You are trending. Your department is trending wrongfully so in the social media. So at this when you are in the portfolio committee, you have an opportunity to clarify so many things.
Thank you. As per the report that I received from Human Resource, is that the advert was placed in the newspaper in January 2020, and the many people applied, and there was a panel set for shortlisting and for the interviews, and three people were shortlisted. From those three shortlisted, they were sent for competency test and technical test, and Miss Putima Belebele was the one who performed best more than all the others, and she was recommended. So my involvement was when I arrived, when the letter was just going through to the minister. So from the report that I got is that the process was as per the public service and administration prescripts and regulations.
Honorable members? Yes, Honorable Mkhithi.
Masiko, Chair.
Masiko. No, thank you, Masiko. You're in now.
Yes, I'm in, Chair, but I'll be having a breakage because I'm actually traveling still, but I'm in the meeting.
Okay, sure.
Thank you, Chair, and a very good morning to the department as well as honorable members. Chair, I'm not going to switch on my video because I'm also chatting as well. But Chair, just in response to what the DG has said, there's just a few questions that are very important for me to find out. The first one is, as you correctly pointed, Chair, this particular appointment in the department has caused quite a stir. Now, it's been widely reported, firstly, that the appointment of Mrs. Pucci is an appointment that was made with the full knowledge that she is the wife of the current director, one of the directors in the department. Mr. Shibit, can the DG confirm, is this true? Is the appointment of the Chief Director of the Rights of People with Disabilities, in fact, the wife of Mr. Mbazima Shibit? That's the first question. The second question, it's also been widely reported that the appointment of Ms. Pucci is that she does not have any experience or qualifications related to the sector of disability, and that she does not meet the requirements as the advert stipulated when it was released. Can the DG confirm whether this is true or not, and give us the information as to what those qualifications and experiences are of Ms. Pucci as it relates to the office in which she is serving, the Chief Director of Rights of People with Disabilities? Thirdly, can the DG also explain to us how this appointment took place? Was she and the Minister aware of the fact that Ms. Pucci was in fact the wife of Mr. Mbazima Shibit when they approved the appointment after the HR process? Lastly, I want to know from the DG and the Minister in absentia, what have they done since these revelations have come to light? What processes have they put in place? If indeed the allegations of nepotism and corruption have taken place within this particular appointment, what mitigating factors have they put in place? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkhithi. Honorable Masiko.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, Honorable Ministers, the Department, and the Honorable Members. Chair, I'm fully covered by Honorable PT, especially on the question relating to whether or not they can confirm whether she is indeed the wife of a member of the or an official of the department, and secondly, whether it was known or stated in the application whether or not she is related to any member of the staff of the or the official of the department. Secondly, Chairperson, I think we really need to engage on how the department practices what it preaches. Because for me, if we cannot implement what we live by as a department, how do we expect other departments to follow suit? It is of interest to me, Chairperson, as well, and maybe the DG can enlighten the portfolio committee on whether there were any deserving candidates who are persons with disabilities for this post.
chairperson, we are always advocating. Ours is to advocate for women. Ours is to advocate for young people. Ours is to advocate for persons with disabilities. But if as a department we cannot live by what we preach, then I don't think we are. It is really a futile exercise for us to exist as a department. So I want us, chairperson, to really engage, because I know that when we are engaging on the actual presentation, we will also go into details about the beneficiaries of the PPEs, whether women benefited, whether young people benefited, because as a department, chairperson, we need to shine this light, and other departments must use us as a yardstick or as a measure to say that these things can be done. But for me, chairperson, it's a great concern if the department cannot really implement, you know, things that we talk about all the time in terms of prioritizing persons with disabilities, prioritizing young people, prioritizing women. So I think that that's a discussion, chairperson. Maybe we can look into it on another date, but it's of great concern if the department cannot really practice what it preaches. Thank you, chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. In fact, you know what? I want to use a strong word, which this thing is a disgrace. It's something that one cannot do if it's true. Because one, you are a department of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. And you are expected to lead by example. And you know, if that post was advertised looking for a person who should have been appointed from that disability vulnerable groups or disability sector, that means you have failed that community, disabled community, because I can't understand that. How come are you trending for wrong reasons for such a critical issue, which as a department you are supposed to have dealt with according to what the department is supposed to be implementing? And you know, honorable members, this thing, it leaves me with many questions. That, you know, when I look at how the department is performing, it tells you that the reason that you are underperforming, you are not going anywhere. That's why even some of the things that you are supposed to be doing, you are not doing. It's because people, some of the positions, the people that are there are wrongfully appointed. I'm not even sure whether they do qualify to be in those positions. But you know what, honorable members? I want to make a proposal to you, honorable members, for us to get a detailed report so that we cannot get piecemeal. You know, when you get piecemeal, you don't get to the gist of the matter. But when you deal with the matter holistically, then you'll get the right information on what exactly is happening there and what exactly happened, because I'm sure that was not the only post. I want to propose to you, honorable members, that we as the portfolio committee, we write to the minister of the Department of DPSA, so that DPSA must investigate this matter and give us a report. Because DPSA will go into details. DPSA will go into details, will check the advert, what was the requirement, what was the advert saying, what were the requirements, and who were the people in the panel who were doing all those interviews, and they will get all the details. What did the minister say, what did the DM say, what did the DG say? So all those details will be there. And we'll know exactly what was happening there. Whether people with disabilities were shortlisted, and why were people with disabilities were overlooked? Well, this thing is dealing with their own their own affairs, you know, on issues of the rights of disabled people. So I think what we need to do, honorable members, is take that route. Because I don't want us that tomorrow will civil society organizations will be marching against Parliament and Portfolio Committee and say, this is what has happened. And, you know, I can't even answer my call. Because I see many people calling me, wanting me to ask, to respond to this issue. And I was not part of those interviews. And the people have got confidence in this Portfolio Committee that because you are doing oversight over this department, they are going to get justice. So what we need to do is to write a letter to Department of Civil State, you know, public administration. Yeah, I think we need to write to them so that they can tell us what they can investigate on what exactly is happening here. This issue is all over. We can't defend things that we don't know. Everybody must take full responsibility on his or her action. People must account. I think, can I get in to honorable members, if you're agreeing with me, so that we can take this matter forward. We can't leave this thing lying. I see the head of Honorable Ngoko. What is the deal with this? Because you are even underperforming in that program. I see the hand of Honorable MPP, Masiko, Ngoko, Masondo, Honorable Sonyane. I see all the honorable members in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is really concerning and I've been partly covered by honorable fees, but I just wanted to check with the department if during the when they were advertising, if they were also able to share the advertisements with organizations that represent the
I have put a motion. I have made a proposal. Honorable Mpiti and Honorable Masiko have spoken to the matter. I have put a proposal to honorable members that we want a full report. We must write to the Department of the Public Service so that they must investigate. We need a detailed report. We don't want to post things. We need a full report on what exactly happened. All these issues, I'm sure what we can do is that other issues that you are raising, maybe our staff members must take note so that they can be included in our letter. So,
okay. Okay. No, I agree with the proposal, Chairperson. And I just wanted to make sure that what is also included in our letter is a question of whether the department also shares the advertisements to organizations that represent persons with disabilities, because that is what the Code of Good Practice on Employment of Persons with Disabilities says, that whenever a public sector is employing, they must share their advertisements to organizations that represent persons with disabilities. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Even the statistics South Africa tells us to say how far are we performing as a country in terms of issues of disabled people. Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I do agree with the proposal that you've put on the table. But Chair, just one caveat for me is that on Tuesday in our meeting, we were very clear to the department that we would want to discuss this particular item today, to the effect that the minister even sent a letter. So I don't Chair, I think it's fair if some of the questions we've posed are not going to be answered, because even the DG herself really did not say anything on this item. So I'd really like to ask you, through you, for your indulgence, that at least we are given the opportunity at this level for preliminary questions that we pose to be answered, because we did agree on Tuesday that we were going to come today to this meeting, and the department was in fact going to give us a briefing. And the DG did not give us a briefing of what has actually happened. So I would really like to ask that at least, in the least, can our questions be answered? Thank you, Chair.
No, it's fine. It's as long as they're supporting us, we are writing to TBSA, it's fine. Honorable Masiko,
Chair, mine is to support the proposal that you have raised. I think we really do need a full detailed report on what has transpired, so that we are not discussing it out of the top of our heads. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
In fact, I'm tempted even to say maybe, in fact, TBSA must also check whether the people that are there, you know, when there are things like this, you'll find that in some of the departments there are ghost employees. Maybe we need to go further. Honorable, lower your hand. Yeah, Honorable Mkweba. Sonyane, Honorable Sonyane, your head was up in Masondo.
Yes, my head was up.
Yes.
No,
we support
the proposal that you have put on the table, Chairperson. Because like my colleagues have said, honestly speaking, a person who was trying to explain, I did not explain anything. So maybe let's write that letter and then let's get a full detail of exactly what happened, you know, like step by step, what has happened. Even the candidates that were shortlisted, as they say, who were those candidates and what were their qualifications and how did we end up with this one who ended up winning who ended up getting the post. So let's get a full report to show we support you on that one.
Thank you very much. Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to all. I support the proposal that you have put forward, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think it's going to assist us because we've been even talking about ICT problems and so on. Things are not going. Honorable Mkweba.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, DM, and the department, and honorable members. No, Chair, I think I support the proposal, but as part of the package of the report, I think also the list of all the candidates that applied with their qualifications must be made available as well. And also, they must also, as part of the report, also explain whether the interviews were visual or physical. Thank you very much, Chair.
And whether the unions were cut off observing interviews, and whether there was any person from that division of disabled people in those interviews. And you know, when we say all these things, they must know we have information. Lower your hand, Honorable Mkweba. DM, can you respond to some of the things, some of the issues we are saying we are going to put down in our letter when we are writing to DSA? And Kashifa and Melissa, you must capture everything that members have said in this meeting. DGNTSDM?
Sorry, I was locked out. I apologize. Earlier on, I didn't have my information with me about when the post the advert was placed, how many people applied and all that. The post was advertised on City Press and report on the 22nd of December 2019, and the Department of Public Service and Administration vacancy circular with the closing date of 31 January 2020.
Chair, point of order.
Can
I ask for the protection of this meeting?
Okay. What? Why? What is happening? Honorable PC? Honorable PC?
Has been kicked out.
What's going on? Honorable PC? He's been kicked out. I see. May you please help us? Yeah, I see we are too many. We have taken three people. Where are other people coming from? Who's Mukono?
Special advisor, legal advisor to the minister.
Who's the show, man?
Internal audit.
Ryan Matabella.
Chief director of strategy, chief director in the office of the DG.
The chamber of. Disability
or disability unit.
It's really quality.
Chief Financial Officer.
Clean Day is who?
Is it not from Parliament side?
They must respond, otherwise I take them out. Who's there?
They are from Parliament, not from our side.
I see. Can you please tell us what who is Kevin Day? Bongi Mapelwedi?
Bongi from the Office of the Director General.
Who is Stephen Day?
This is Christian.
Oh, Christian, yeah. You must write your full name, Christian, man. Okay, thank you. Okay, we can continue. Put Honorable Mpiti back to the meeting.
I'm conducting I teach.
Yeah. I don't get it. Okay. Can continue, DG?
I was still saying the closing date for the advert was 31 January 2020, and that it was advertised in the City Press report and public service. In the public service website, and 96 applications were received and captured in the selection grid. The interviews were done on 5 June 2020. Oh no, sorry. The interviews were done. The 5/2020 was the selection committee. The selection committee was approved, and the interviews were done on the shortlisting was done on the 1st of July 2020. And on the 27th of July, there were interviews, and three people were shortlisted from those interviews. It was Ms. T.A. Mabelebele, Ms. M.J. Mulamu, and Mr. V. Vala. And the interviews, Ms. Puti Mabelebele was the one who performed, was selected based on their performance. And then the question whether they were disabled people, number two, Ms. M.J. Mulamu is a person with disabilities, so I think she's on a wheelchair. The other questions were whether Ms. Puti Mabelebele disclosed or not. That information I don't have with me. I will have to look at whether she disclosed in the interviews or she disclosed in the application itself. I do not have that information. Though I was not in the department when when the interviews were done. But yes, most people in the department know that she is his wife, but I do not know whether the panel interview panel members knew or not. So some of the questions, I'll leave them to HR to respond to them. In terms of what has been done since this came to the attention of the department in order to mitigate this, the email was received last week from TPSA about this appointment. And we've since responded to it. However, as a department, we have not yet done anything. We're waiting for TPSA to maybe give us indication in terms of what we need to do. Yeah, I think for now, these are my responses, and I'll request each
to investigate all the posts that we advertised this year, and how was the process followed, and all the panel interviews with you, exactly all your adverts, your vacancy posts that you just fill now, will want to investigate all of them. And that's why we want to get to the gist of the matter. We don't want to be shy up as if no. Okay, and then Kubani Muni Boti Magazo Kuluma.
Yes, that's it.
Ma'am, I'm sorry.
Yes. First of all, let me greet all the members. Thank you very much.
Nomshema Imkhathile TV. Who was next?
HR, someone from HR. Are there people from HR who can... HR.
I'm worried, Chakasen, about these 96 people, because when you see the assets, you know exactly that I'm suitable for this post. Out of 96, they only select 3. There is something wrong on that issue alone.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll put that down about their selection criteria. Okay, sorry for that. Continue, TV. No one.
Okay, the person who has to respond says the system keeps saying wait, someone will let you in.
So we don't have leisure time, honorable member.
So we'll send in writing, we'll send the information about qualifications, and whether she has disclosed and other the qualifications of all other candidates who have applied, and who were the selection members, all that information we'll send it.
One CPSA to investigate.
Okay.
Yeah, everything STG. CPSA must give us the whole report. In public service and administration. Honorable members, that's how we close the matter. All the same things that we raised will be put down in the letter, so that we forward will give a time frame of 2 weeks or 3 weeks, so that we can get back. 3 weeks. 2 weeks is enough. Let's get to the presentation. Honorable member, TG, let's get to your report. I don't want to even talk about it, because we have seen interest that you are changing, your targets, you are changing. Things that you presented in the last time, you obtained them. So we need to understand all those things when you're making a presentation, because some of the answers are not satisfactory staff answers. So may you go presenting, DG?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Please. Go to the next page. We are pleased to present quarter 2 2020-2021 financial year overall performance of the department. Let's go to slide 3. In strategic, the strategic focus of the department concentrates on engaging in advocacy and mainstreaming, institutional support, capacity building, monitoring and evaluation of considerations related to the equality and empowerment of women, youth and persons with disabilities in line with the following MTSF priorities. Next slide. The 7 priorities of the 6th administration. The first one is capable, ethical, and developmental state. The outcomes is improved governance process and systems for Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities. Strengthened stakeholder relations and community mobilization towards the realization of women's empowerment, youth development, and disability rights. Revised legislative framework to respond to and enforce rights of women, youth, and persons with disabilities, contribute to development of government-wide impact, outcomes, indicators, and targets relating to women, youth, and persons with disabilities. And we have done that. We have also contributed to the MTSF itself for all government departments to comply with those indicators for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. Contribute to outcome on mainstreaming gender, youth, and disability institutionalized. Contribute to outcome on gender, youth, and disability planning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluation, and auditing to ensure that it's institutionalized across all government. Priority two, economic transformation and job creation. I think this is one of the area where, as a country, we are not doing well. The outcome is equitable economic empowerment, participation, and ownership for women, youth, and persons with disabilities being at the center of the national economic agenda. So the indicators are interventions to support women, economic empowerment and participation, contribute to the development of government-wide impact indicators, impact outcome indicators and targets relating to women, youth, and persons with disabilities, responsible government-wide performance, monitoring and evaluation. Next slide. Priority three is education, skills, and health, which are critical for women to be able to contribute, to benefit and contribute to the economic, to the economy of South Africa. The outcome is improved skills for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. The indicators contribute to the development of government-wide impact, outcome indicators, and targets relating to women, youth, and persons with disabilities, responsible for government-wide performance monitoring and analysis for gender data, gender, youth, and persons with disabilities. Priority four is consolidating the social wage through reliable and quality-based education. The indicators here contribute to development of government-wide impact, outcomes, indicators, and targets relating to women, youth, and persons with disabilities, responsible for government-wide performance, monitoring, and analysis of gender data, gender, youth, and persons with disability data, spatial integration, human settlement, and local government. The indicators contribute to development of government-wide impact outcome indicators and targets relating to women, youth, and persons with disabilities. The next one is responsible for government-wide performance monitoring and analysis on gender data, young persons, and persons with disabilities. Next slide. The sixth priority, social cohesion and safer communities. Outcome levels of marginalization, stigmatization, and discrimination and violence against women, girls, and persons with disabilities reduced. A mass media campaign to end gender-based violence and femicide is required by the gender-based violence and femicide national strategic plan. Establishment of the GBVF Council and coordination of machineries for women, youth, and persons with disabilities, contribute to the development of government-wide impact outcomes, indicators, and targets relating to women, youth, and persons with disabilities, responsible for government-wide performance, monitoring, and analysis of gender, young persons, and persons with disability data. Contribute to outcome on equal opportunities, inclusion, and redress through outreach initiatives and behavior change campaigns on gender. Priority seven is a better Africa and world. Outcomes, strengthen women, youth, and persons with disability rights agenda within global, continental, and regional platforms. institutions and engagement towards a better Africa and world, contribute to development of government-wide impact outcomes, indicators, and targets relating to women, youth, and persons with disabilities, responsible for government-wide performance monitoring and analysis of gender data, direct contribution to outcome on women, youth, and disability empowerment and gender equality, advancement through multilateral forums and engagement and compliance. Next slide. Organizational budget, organization and budget program structure. The department's organizational design is structured into three divisions, reporting directly to the accounting officer: strategic management, corporate management, financial management. Four programs reporting directly to the accounting officer: social transformation and economic empowerment, policy, stakeholder coordination and knowledge management, national youth development, rights of persons with disabilities. Budget program structure is structured into five programs: administration, social transformation and economic empowerment, policy, stakeholder and knowledge management, rights of persons with disabilities, and national youth development. The next slide, please. We have included the additional deliverables related to the COVID-19 interventions that the department embarked upon to intervene and aid in government contribution to relieve the impact that COVID-19 had on women, youth, and persons with disabilities. The department received a consignment from WaterAid destined for Housing Department of Social Development. They consisted of 20,000 sanitary pads, 246 boxes of large boy soap, 17,723 bars, sanitizers and COVID-19 hygiene behavior change materials, all worth 548,498 rand in total. Another one is Langelihle Youth Foundation, which donated 60 transparent masks for persons with disabilities so as to lip read, especially during speeches and presentations. The UNFPA also finalized the procurement process for the phase two consignment meant for the Eastern Cape and KZN, and the consignment will be delivered directly to the DSD food banks warehouses as identified by the provinces. Virtual engagements were held with both provinces on 7th August and 17th August 2020 to ensure their state of readiness to receive and distribute the consignment to the identified beneficiaries. A monitoring and evaluation tool was shared with the provinces to ensure that distribution of the consignment is monitored. Amongst other initiatives, the department provided the PEs for the disability rights sector and conducted research on impact of COVID-19 on persons with disabilities in partnership with Office of the UN High Commission for Human Rights. A draft COVID-19 disability tracker was developed, provision of sign language interpreters for the media briefings of the NCCC, and events hosted by the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. Can we please go to slide 10? Slide 10, the next slide. The COVID-19 restrictions had a debilitating effect on the productivity of the department, particularly during lockdown level 5-4.
Are going to take a lot of time. The report, because all honorable members, they do have the report, and we were just seeing each other in the morning. So just talk to the report and go to, if you have our presenter, my financials,
and then whoever is supposed to put, present something must present, talk to the report, and then we go straight to the questions. We've got many questions today.
Okay, okay. The situation is gradually returning to a semblance of normality during level one with implementation of measures to get employees back to the department. Ultimately, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities is committed to a working environment that is safe and without risk to the health of its employees. Nevertheless, restrictions continue to have impact on the utilization and development of the workforce. The department has achieved 75% of its planned target for quarter two, unlike quarter one where it achieved 59%. Obvious because of the issues of the because of the challenges of the COVID-19. The improvement is due to the measures introduced to ensure that the standard operating procedures for the management of performance information and financial management instructions are presented to all staff of the department to understand that we are adhering to principles of government and working towards the achievement of a set goal of a clean audit opinion. The corporate management standard operation procedures are work in progress, and it is important that all members of staff are aware of the objectives of priorities of the sixth administration. When I joined the department as a director general, I found a willing team, and my focus has been to establish interventions that will enable us to be a winning team, to ensure that when we get to the portfolio committee, we get accolations in the future when we come, so that we achieve with all that we are supposed to achieve with. And this will be doing with the assistance of all the oversight structures, the audit committee, the audit and risk committee, auditor general, and the portfolio committee itself, and the ministry supporting us. We have included all the information as requested by the portfolio committee in the main report, in the main report to the portfolio committee, which covers all the areas that the portfolio committee has requested in terms of human resource, financial, and all those reports. Quarter two has been assured by the internal audit and approved by the minister. The committee must note that we have concluded the audit on the third year of September. The audit of the 2019-2020, we've completed it on the 30th of September. However, we'll present the report to the portfolio committee on the 17th of November. An audit action was developed to address the 27 findings which management could not resolve, and they are included in the presentation in slide 61. The audit action plan targets for the period ending 31 December 2020, that by that time 95% of them will have addressed. The audit action plan was issued to managers by 30 October 2020 for them to populate the action plans that they will take in order to address the issues that were raised in the management report. The first reporting to be done is 31st December. During quarter two, we held a strategic session to prepare for the next financial year annual plan, which will largely be informed by the lessons learned in this current financial year. And we have redefined the strategic direction of the department and are excited to contribute to the improvement of the lives of women, youth and persons with disabilities. We have redefined our strategic direction to be regulators. We are regulators and monitor. Our role also is to monitor and evaluate. We are not implementers. So that's exactly what we are going to focus on. Slide 39 to 44, it looks at the risk management report. The department has 28 mitigating actions pledged for the second quarter. 18, which is 64, were implemented. 10 is 36% partially implemented. There is an increase in the implementation of mitigation actions from 6 not implemented in quarter one, to all actions implemented in quarter two. The impact of mitigating strategic risk is critical for achieving a strategic objective of the department, and management was found to have performed very well even in the outcome of the audit for the previous year, financial year. Slide 45 and 51 is the HR oversight report in quarter two. The vacancy rate is at 3.6, which is way below the 10% prescribed. The department lost a staff member and had two resignations. One was to move to a higher appointment, whilst the other two was disciplinary hearing settlement. We have one disciplinary hearing in progress of a senior manager. The following were vacancies in quarter two. However, they have since been filled. Chief director, advocacy and mainstreaming, rights of persons with disabilities. The person started on the 1st of November. Director evaluation, they started on the 1st of November. Director governance, transformation, justice and security, they started in November. Director outreach started 1st November. Director SCM started in November. I think the portfolio committee will be pleased that we have filled that vacant post. In August 2020, the department was informed by the National Treasury that reductions had been made to the MTS compensation of employees budget baseline allocation. The reduction was as follows. 2021-2022 is 16.718 million. 2022-2023, 22.675 million. 2023-2024 is 24.574 million. This is going to have a serious impact on the capacity of the department, which is already under capacitated. On the 4th of September 2020, a presentation was made to the Budget Committee on the impact of the reductions and the need to reduce the headcount of the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities to ensure that compensation of employee expenditure will remain within the allocated ceilings, particularly in the outer years of the medium term. On the basis of the accounting officer and the minister, it was decided that under the current situation, the following post will be unfunded to ensure that personnel expenditure over the MTS remains within the baseline allocation. DDG, Rights of Persons with Disabilities, Chief Director, Social Empowerment and Participation, Director, Stakeholder Engagement, Branch Coordinator, RDP, Community Outreach, in the Office of the Deputy Minister, Assistant Director, Governance and Compliance, Admin Officer, Social Transformation and Economic Empowerment, Personal Assistant, Policy Stakeholder Coordination, and Knowledge Management. Accordingly, this unfunded post will forthwith not be included in the post-establishment of the department and not be taken into consideration in determining the vacancy rate. In addition, the reduction of the MTF compensation of employees allocations. National Treasury also informed the department in September 2020 of a reduction of 6.687 million to the 2020-2021 compensation of employees baseline allocation to fund the SAA business rescue plan. On 15 October, a further reduction of 2.1 million to the allocation was announced. Due to the reduction of the MTF headcount as calculated in 2023-2024, the retrospective impact thereof on the compensation of employees' commitments in 2021, together with underspending that has materialized in the period of April 2020, that funded vacancies have been vacant. It is projected that the compensation of employee expenditure for 2020-2021 financial year shall be covered through the reduction, through the reduced allocation. Due to the headcount reduction in terms of the unfunding of the vacancies as well as the dedicated recruitment and selection processes, the vacancy rate has been reduced to 3.6 under the constrained financial circumstances. It is foreseen that this rate will be maintained they will fill the rest of the financial year with a very little scope for establishing additional capacity in the department. Slide 62 to 65 financial report in quarter two, the adjusted appropriation for the department is 645.2 million with actual expenditure of 336.9 million, which translates to 52.2. The department incurred irregular expenditure amounting to 647,808.72 cents. The amount relates to payments of the security contract that identified as irregular expenditure during the audit of 2017-2018 financial year. The department is making progress in the investigation of the irregular expenditure of the previous financial years, and we are working tirelessly not to incur any irregular expenditure. The CFO will be managing the procurement plan vigilantly to ensure that the progress plan properly for the project of the department. The department did not incur any deviations up to the 30th of September 2020. The department paid 96.5% of billed invoices within 30 days of the within 30 days. Other percentage is due to a backlog for the payment. Two invoices are due, which were part of the final reconciliation of the Vodacom account, and the finance office had to ensure that there were no duplication payments. Thank you very much.
Did we?
Yes, Chair.
You're done?
Yes.
I think the other thing, honorable members, that I forgot to even to ask the department is that, you know, we are talking about human resource division. Is it true that in your department, some of your officials, they are forever absent for more than 3 months? And if it's true, who are those officials? Because these are some of the things that we'll be putting in our letter to DBSA. If it's true, who are those officials who are, because if you absent yourself from work for more than 3 months, it means you are stealing and you are getting paid. Who are getting paid for what? That means you are stealing government money. And if a person is sick, was there any signal submitted? And what does the police say on sick leave and absenteeism? And why have you not taken action? And when did this thing started? So I think, TG, these are some of the things that I forgot to talk about that are happening in your department. That you are having people that are being paid every month, but they are forever absent from work. Okay, who is the next? But I would like you to respond on that one. The next presenter is who, did you?
The CFO, the CFO, Mr. Zuri.
Okay, she can talk.
Good morning, Chairperson. Deputy Minister and the DG, as members of the portfolio committee. My presentation will start on slide 52, which demonstrates the filling patterns of the department across the department and of other troops. Overall, the department spent 52% of the allocated budget, with administration having spent 46.3% of the total allocation of 90.8 million. Program 2 spent 8,159,000, which translates to 29.9% of the budget, program 328.7%, rise of persons with disability 19.4%, and National Youth Development 72.2 million, which translates to 21.8% of the adjusted 10.5 million. In total, the operational budget of the department, including the budget earmarked for transfers to entities, is 183 million, 974,000, and the percentage spent translates to 36.4%. CGE, the department transferred 37.7% of the 79.5 adjusted budget, and the 37.7% translates to 29.966 million of the adjusted budget. National Youth Development Agency, an amount of 240 million has been transferred as at end of quarter two, and that translates to 62.9% of the 381 million for the NYDA. Overall, in terms of the reasons for budget expenditure across the programs in the department, the expenditure of the department was mainly affected by the COVID-19 restrictions. We anticipate to see an increase in expenditure with effect from quarter three, and ensure that the allocation of the department will be fully spent by the end of the financial year. On slide 58, the breakdown of expenditure per economic classification is as follows. Compensation of employee 41.8%, spent goods and services 24.8%, on transfers and subsidies 70.2% of the budget has been spent, machinery and equipment 39.3%, payments of financial assets, we haven't realized any expenditure, and the CGE and National Development Agency as a respect to the categories in their own. On transfers and subsidies, the 153,000 spent mainly relates to payments of leave gratuities to officials who resigned from the department, and this relates to outstanding leave days that they accrued at the time when they exit the public sector. I'll move to slide number 61, which the DG has already spoken to. All I can indicate on the audit action plan for the 1920 financial year, it was concluded and signed off by the DG last week. We will start implementing the audit action plan, develop and monitor progress on implementation on a monthly basis effective the month of December. The DG will speak to the issues of irregular expenditure, evasion, and the victims of compliance on payment of invoices and incentives. Thank you, the chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. O. Is there another person?
Yes, HR will also present.
Okay, let them present.
Okay, but I assume that Thank you.
you very much, Honorable Mr. Mbazima. Put into the human resources deal now, say. Fanny would tell why Mabat Kona Bantu Abashala for 3 months when you've been 17. Action, which member Patal and Patalella in, and the Tini police in dealing with Amasik leaves, Mogamin and Pasabu in public servant. We see when we are sick, we submit a sick note, but after a certain period, Maulu end up Kola, he has pay after level the in the Kojana, in leaves. Without pay. So, Nina, what is it that you've done in your department? If ever I want to see a container, I want to go to Kula, Mama Bella, who border. We are border with this person who was sick, who's sickly. So, this person cannot work. So, what is it that you have done in it? Because all those things, it's things that people are talking about. And Nina, at the control of committee, we don't know about these things. Nina, you must tell us, but what is it that you have done in your department? Because the department is not performing good, kashagash, in most of the local programs. Because why? People are not at work, but are getting paid every month. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I now hand over to Honorable Members. The department is done. Let me get hands from honourable members on all the three presentations. Honourable Masondo. Honourable Sonyana. Honorable members, can you hear me? Mamishema?
Thank you.
In that order. Honorable Mwobo. Honorable Mkweba. Sister, Agibone Akwela. Okay, let's start, Honorable Masondo.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity. I greet all members, Deputy Minister, and all the members. I'll start by the financial management. Just have one question there. Have the contract workers in finance management unit and SCM been appointed? The other one for COVID response. So why was the department only able to procure 27% of its PPE from black-owned young female suppliers? Why were 10 of the suppliers not listed on the central supplier database? The other one, internal audit. Was the annual internal audit plan published given that it was still in draft form in quarter one? If not, why? Have the internal audit capacity constraints been addressed? If not, why? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo. Honorable Mobo?
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions are on program for rights of persons with disabilities. I think this is really concerning that the department continues to underspend on this very important program, given that persons with disabilities in our society still face obstacles and a lot of challenges. And so in some cases, they cannot even get basic things like wheelchairs. Just later on today,
a local councillor in my constituents and myself, will be handing over a wheelchair to a 9-year-old old girl who's wheelchair bound. Her mom had been trying to get her wheelchair for months. She spoke to a local social worker. She couldn't get assisted. She went to a local clinic. She couldn't get assisted. It's only after she had spoken to us that we went to the clinic. And even after we had gone to the clinic, we still had to wait for more than a month just for us to go back and fetch the wheelchair. These are the lived experiences of persons with disabilities on the ground, which I don't think that the department understands and appreciates. And so my first question to the department is, I see that there was a discussion paper that the department says that is now complete. So I just want to know what the content of this discussion paper is, and why has it taken the department 3 months just to develop a discussion paper. And my next question is on the disability rights awareness and self-representation, or on the framework on disability rights awareness and self-representation. So I just want to find out what were the key findings of the public comments made on the National Framework on Disability Rights Awareness, and what was the demographic profile of individuals and organizations who made comments on the framework. And it can also be the department please share the draft framework with the committee. And then my next question will be on the status, on the debt annual targets, which is one status report on disability inclusion in departmental strategic plans and APPs for 2021 to 2024. I would like to know what is the status of this report and whether the department will be able to develop this report by quarter three. The department also notes that by the end of the financial year, the department will produce one annual performance monitoring report on inclusion of persons with disabilities. I just want to check what are the preliminary findings of this report that the department is supposed to be developing by the end of the financial year. And also overall, Chairperson, I just want to find out from the department, in the previous two quarters, quarter one and now this quarter two, what can the department say have been the achievements on the ground of the target that they've set for the two quarters that you have dealt with?
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngobo. In fact, Honorable Ngobo, you know, I'm looking at this report on disability. The department is not serious about dealing with issues of disability. How do you not fund three critical positions in that branch of the disability? How come? How do you do your planning? People have been complaining about the community. In fact, disabled people and disabled organizations have been complaining all along that your department is not even interested in funding three critical positions in that division of disability. The DDG post, the ASD post. So how are you going to, in terms of governance issues and compliance, how are you going to monitor all these other departments in terms of compliance? You see, now it makes sense to me, Uchi. In fact, the reason you even hired the person who does not qualify in that position is because of this. So you're not taking issues of disabled people serious. Why are you not prioritizing issues of disabled people? Honorable Sanyane?
Chair?
Yes?
I don't have
I really don't have much to say on this thing.
Honorable,
is it Mkweba or is it Mamshen? You see for yourself that this report is even about to give out, you will end up shouting and your target that does not met. Chair?
Yes, Honorable Sonyana.
Oh, Chairperson, I was saying that you can see for yourself how this report is, even yourself as the chair, you end up really just shouting because you can just see the mess that it is. I don't know really what must I say. Targets are not met. It's just a mess of a report. So let me just leave it there, Chair, and let's see what other members say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Mkweba? Mkweba? Mamshengwa?
Good morning, Chairperson. Okay. Good morning, Chair, and thank you very much, Chair. One, let me welcome the three presentations by the department. My issues are very few, Chair. But firstly, can the department give the committee the progress that has been made in terms of establishment of the NCGPVF? Can they tell us, because we understand there was an advert in terms of the council, what is the progress report in terms of the process of the National Council Gender-Based Violence and Femicide? Secondly, Chair, on the program 3, the department has also indicated in terms of the total number of operational risk mitigation actions. That has been partially implemented. Then my question to the department, how many mitigation actions that are outstanding from quarter 2 can they then explain in detail? And on the program 4, Chair, I then picked up in terms of the report and also the presentation on the research on impact of COVID-19 in terms of quarter 2 reports, the three deliberations vis-a-vis the COVID-19. Then the department, my question to the department is that what was the key findings and the outcome of that research on impact of COVID-19, especially on persons with disabilities, in partnership with the OHCHR, that is also linked to the 340,000. Then they must also explain to the committee what was the 340,000 cost incurred for. Those are the three critical questions, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkweba. Honorable Mamshengwa.
Let me welcome the report. Thank you very much for the report. And I have only three questions here and there. The first question was illness disability. With Mr. Ndlovu, who's complaining about the
the issue of wheelchair, because in my constituency there are three children at school plus people who need tools, but no tools. Now it's going to about 6 months, and well as wheelchairs. But this department said they are improving in this department. They claim that there is an improvement. What is of this improvement? Because they ask people who need wheelchairs, they don't have. They don't have, but the department said they are 100% improving this department. Secondly, the youth program. In the youth program, I just have let me have a clarity on the youth program, because one would say, what are those youth who beneficiaries in those programs that the department has said that there are programs targeted youth, and yet they are, they said that it is achieved, but one would say, who are those youth? What are the percentages youth? And even the provinces where these programs ran. In terms of quarter two, saying disability, I am very worried about these disabilities, because this department means they are neglecting this disability. They say in quarter two, they are target, not achieve. What are the problems of achieving this target in quarter two? Because if you carry with things, you cannot say you achieve in quarter one and you cannot achieve in quarter two. It means for the whole of quarter one, not achieve, and the whole of quarter two, not achieve. Now you are towards the end, not achieve. But there are disabilities outside there. Their programs are not achieved. Lastly, in terms of the province report on sanitary dignity, what exactly people receive this sanitary dignity? Because we see this sanitary going to schools, going to schools. What about those who are not schools, but not in school? What about those? Because the DFE knows about these people. What about they cater for those who are not in school about this sanitary dignity? Because if you see this sanitary dignity, same thing applies to the disability people or disability group did not fully benefit in this program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Kaimwa. I see, may please let my members in, because my other members have been kicked out of the system and they want to speak. Honorable DM. DM?
Yes, Chair?
You know, there's one issue that we are not agreeing with you as the portfolio committee. The issue of the Board of Trustees. And I'm told even National Treasury is disagreeing with you with in that regard. You are expected to establish a national council on GBV. But you have advertised a board of trustees. That's why sometimes even in the portfolio committee, there's confusion, which is you are talking of board of trustees or you are talking of a council. If we are looking to a council, a board of trustees, Kashagash. If we are booked, because Kulunyu and council, the board of trustees is over there. Why need me for now foster to implement that into anyone I would even the national treasurer is not agreeing with you? And that we are not supporting you on that one. Why we are incorporating things that we are raising in the portfolio committee? You'll be on your own. Because if we tell you, this one we don't support, go review what your decision, or whether you go back to interministerial committee and discuss this thing, it's only clap and if board of trustees. The way trustees are operating, I don't understand with who government, how is it practical? But I'm telling you now, as the portfolio committee, we're not supporting this thing of board of trustees. We're expecting you, which you should be establishing a national a council for a gender-based violence. But what you're doing, I'm telling you, even clutter. And I don't know whether you're going to overlook or override whatever Treasury is saying to you. And if Treasury is not agreeing with you, how are you going to implement it? I know even when you're presenting, there was confusion from even among us members. And even when you were asked by a civil society organization outside, we said, no, we didn't talk about this. We started reading, what are you talking about? Honorable Mpiti, are you in? Honorable Mpiti? Oh, Mpiti is in. Honorable Mpiti, you can speak. Mpiti, you can speak. I don't know what is the problem. Honorable Mpiti must speak. I don't know what is the problem now. Indeed, you can speak.
Chair, what's going on with my net? My phone, I'm not sure, but I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, you're audible now. If this thing happens to me the previous day, I don't know what's happening with Parliament.
Thank you very much, Chair. I obviously was waiting outside of the meeting for about 10 minutes, so I don't know if the questions that I have already been addressed by other honorable members. Sure. Thanks, Chair. Yes. Chair, I see that in reading the report that the ICT infrastructure of the department continues to be a problem.
And I think, you know, for a number of quarters, we've been asking as a committee what exactly is being done to mitigate the challenges that the department is facing in regards to ICT. And in the past two occasions that this matter was raised, we were given an assurance that there will be, you know, progress on the matter. So it's surprising to now see that the issue is flagged again. So I'd really like to understand where exactly this issue is and what is being done, because it's been an outstanding issue for quite some time. So I do believe that we need to get some idea of what exactly is the issue. Coupled with that is the issue of the tools of trade. Of course, we've been in...
Yes. In fact, I want to add on that one. The DG must investigate and give us a report on the ICT thing. We can continue.
Thanks, Chair. So I do think that we need to have a clear understanding, because as far as I am aware, we've obviously come out of COVID during a lockdown process, and I'm wondering whether the tools of trade or the inadequate tools of trade that officials have received have perhaps contributed to the performance in some of these programs. I mean, I don't know if there's a relation, but I'm assuming a lot of the work was happening away from the office. And so if officials did not have adequate tools of trade, how much to that did it contribute to the performance of some of these programs that we're seeing? So I think we need to look at that, and we need to have a response from the department, because we honestly cannot go on like this anymore with the same issues. I mean, since 2019, this has been an outstanding issue in the department, and it still is a year later. And it's almost, in fact, it's almost going to be 2 years now. So I think there really needs to be some clarity on this issue. The next issue, Jay, that I really want to find out is the update on the supply chain management. I know that previously we had a vacancy in that particular place. The last time I had asked about the terms of reference, whether terms of reference have been made available to all officials, because ultimately when there is a failure or when deviations take place that shouldn't be taking place, there is a tendency for people to say that, you know, there was no clear terms of reference, or it wasn't clear at the time. So I want to know, has the terms of reference been distributed within the department in regards to the ACA processes? I also want to know, what is the update with that particular position? How is the department dealing with SCM processes? Because they continue to be major problems. I mean, you look at the deviations that are happening in the department, and you know, the other you know, irregular and wasteful expenditure that's taking place. So I'd like to just get an idea of where we're at in regards to the issue of supply chain management. So just to maybe stick on that, so from the last time as a committee, we had asked the department to tell us what are those mitigating factors that they had put in place when the vacancy of the ACM director was still there. And so I want to know what was done since then, so that we have a clear understanding of what actions were taken, you know, who was responsible for what, was done to ensure that officials are clear on what needs to happen. I think that one is a very important one. Again, on the national strategic plan, Chair, just a few questions on that. I don't know how much has been discussed on it, but I think it is important for us to, you know, to monitor the progress of this framework, because, you know, a lot of us are being asked about it, are being asked, you know, how is it going to actually be implemented, how are other departments, as we've read in the previous committee meetings, how are other departments going to be monitored, etc. What has the department done based on the previous input that the committee gave in regards to strengthening the MNE as it relates to the National Strategic Plan, as it relates to the framework, what type of thinking has been done in that aspect to ensure that this is a successful framework, and that the other departments are also committed to ensuring that what they need to do to make this framework a successful plan that can be monitored is being done. So just to get an update on that issue, Chair, I think will be very important. I think colleagues have probably covered me on the use of consultants, so I'm not going to touch on that. Chair, I think I'll stop there for now. I'll come back if there's another opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Titi. I think, Honorable Members, I think the other questions that I'm not sure whether you have asked, Honorable Members, on what exactly is the youth division, whether you say it's a division or it's a branch, what have you done for young people since you were then declared by, if you pronounced by the president that you are a department of youth, of women, youth and persons with disabilities? What exactly are you doing? What have you done? How do you monitor that young people, they do benefit in all these big projects that are happening in the other departments, whether in provinces or in municipalities? And what inputs have you made to the new economic recovery plan that was announced by the president? We hear social development, we hear other departments, but you know, we are interested in this cultural committee. What inputs have you made as a department of women, youth and persons with disability in relation to the new economic recovery plan that was announced by the president? You know, I've been trying to read that document wanting to see which department of women are. Sometimes when you read English, you miss other things.
I'll speak after you, fine, sorry.
Okay. And we have high rate of unemployment among young people. Do you have any international youth policy? Because you can't be telling us that you've been drafting youth policy from last year, 1 year. It's how many months now since this new term? It's 1 year, how many months, Honorable Titi? 1 year, how many months? What is it that you have done? Do you have capacity? Do you have enough personnel? I'm sure there's no confusion that NYCA is not working for you. You have your own responsibility. You have a role to play in relation to issues of young people. And many young people are depending on you. So what is it that you're doing?
Check, can I come in?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Thanks. Just two last points, Chair. The first one is just to relate to what you were talking about. I mean, yesterday we saw the release of the unemployment figures to the country, and in particular, youth unemployment is currently sitting at 61%, and that obviously includes those who have been discouraged to look for jobs. And so I just want to make this point, Chair, to say that in as much as we understand and we empathize with the department in the fact that they are not an implementing department, they are a monitoring department. It is very difficult for all of us as honorable members to go out to communities and try to explain what exactly is being done to tackle the issues related to youth unemployment. And so I think for the department, I think there needs to be a lot of thinking around that, because this department is the only department that bears the name youth in its title. In as much as other departments have programs for young people, have internships, learnerships, etc., that they run to target the youth, this department ultimately is the face of these issues. And so it is very hard for us to continuously refer to other departments when in fact this is the department that bears the face of young people. And you know, it's difficult for us to explain what exactly the department is doing in regards to assist young people, in particular with this matter. I mean, you can imagine going to communities where you are being asked what exactly the Department of Women, Youth and Persons and with Disabilities doing for young people. It's very hard for us to then go into, you know, these monitoring frameworks that are put in place to ensure that departments are making opportunities available for young people. So I do believe that the department either needs to strengthen its monitoring aspect in relation to youth unemployment, and it's very clear exactly how it's getting the outcomes that it needs to get to assist us with this matter of youth unemployment. And now, more than ever, the department is going to be in the spotlight because we've seen the high percentages of youth unemployment in the country. So I do think that, in particular, the directorate that speaks to young people needs to really stand up on this matter and make sure that we are leading the course as to how we are going to deal with youth unemployment. What are the mechanisms that the department is going to strengthen, in regards to this? Also, it would be nice also for the department to have a press briefing. Brief us as South Africans, as young people, what is the department going to do, noting the fact that youth unemployment is at 61%. We want to know, what are the plans in place? This department cannot keep quiet in a time like this where young people are really at a desperate place. We need to be led by the department. The department needs to take the leadership and explain to young people in this country what they have done or what they are going to do to ensure that the work is being done. I'd also like to agree with the chair that the NYDA is its own entity. And so we mustn't conflate the work of the NYDA with the department. We cannot do that. The department needs to lead the way in this discussion. The last point, Chair, is just to say on the issue of the establishment of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. I honestly, the Board of Trustees matter, I honestly, Chair, I don't know if I support it because I don't feel that the department has given us enough information for us to continue to expand, create boards, create secretariats, and all of these things. If we are going to commit budgets to the establishment of these things, we need to be clear what the outcomes are going to be, how these people are going to assist us on the ground to ensure that we are dealing with the issue of GBV. So at this point in time, I the motivation is not clear to me, Chair, and perhaps we can get more clarity when the department responds. Thanks. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable MPT. I think linking my question with what Honorable MPT have said right now regarding issues of young people. You know, as the parliament have received a memorandum asking parliament on what is the department doing to monitor wage disparities during this time of lockdown, of COVID era, and what is it that the portfolio parliament do, what did parliament do, especially our portfolio committee on issues of women being adversely affected by COVID. And we are expected to respond as the portfolio committee. What is it that you have done? Your department, what is it that you have done? Because women are mostly affected by COVID. Many women have lost their jobs. You know it. What have you done? How do you assist women that whatever that they are supposed to be claiming with UIF or companies that are retrenching women, what is it that you have done as a department? Because these are difficult questions for us as the portfolio committee, but we also want to know what is it that you have done. Thank you very much, honorable members. I think some of the issues that I have forgotten, maybe I will ask them after we get a response from the department, I'm sure. Over to you, DM, DG.
Thank you very much, Chair. The DG will come with an elaborate response to questions. But I just want to talk to the issue. I want to talk to the issue of the trust. Honorable members will remember that in our presentation, even to cabinet, we were looking at an alignment with the SANEC model. That's where the Board of Trustees came in as an interim response to what the establishment of a council. There was a time in July during the Khutla where the Minister of Finance, I think Justice, were a little bit skeptical about legislation. So those discussions we had during those meetings in July led to this route of saying, let's look at SANEC and let's go towards the establishment of the trust. But in the process, it became clear that trusts have their own challenges, and also the trustees, even the input we got from those who came to us was that the problem with trustees, they might take their own direction and they become a structure in their own which you cannot easily influence. And it can take away the dynamism that was in that summit that was held by the president in 2018. So there has been discussions, honorable members, and I think as of today, between Treasury and Public Service Administration, they are looking at a way of assisting the department to set up an interim secretariat en route towards the establishment of a council. I think in the due course, the DG will be able to fully brief honorable members as to where we are. So we appreciate also the input that came from the committee, the warning against the establishment of the trust, as it was endorsed by quite a number of other key stakeholders. So on this score, I think we are on route now. We are aligned. The other point I wanted to talk to is how is it going to be implemented? That is the question of the NSP, National Strategic Plan, which we all know that it has been acceptable.
So, what the department did post the approval of the National Strategic Plan, the minister formally wrote to all the premiers and had almost handing over the NSP to them to say, look, this is the document we should guide all of us, all spheres of government, in addressing the question of GPV. Also emphasizing Pillar 2 on prevention and the promotion of social cohesion as an entry point to the NSP that we should all focus upon primarily without excluding other pillars. So I agree with honorable members when they raise the issue of monitoring the capacity to monitor and evaluate. It's not as simple maybe as we have presented here. It's really a challenge given the limited capacity even within the division which is responsible for this. What I know, even the reports that we are supposed to send to the president, he has insisted that they have to be signed by the minister responsible for monitoring and evaluation, which means the minister in the presidency, Minister Mthembu, which is really going to help us a lot because they have the capacity, a big team of people with expertise in pulling out the aspects that you have to monitor closely and how to monitor and how to report back. So that's gonna strengthen our arm as much as possible once we go that route. There's this question of how do we relate to the economic recovery plan that has been presented by the president. Honourable members, I would really like to assure you that we, of course, at all levels, in the department, through the DG Fora and other structures, did make input. But through all cabinet committees, cabinet has been united in terms of revival of township, rural, and community economy. There's no discussion in all the drivers of the economy that has taken place without cabinet taking it back to women, youth, inclusion of women, youth, and persons with disabilities. Not only just those rhetorics which anyone can stand up and say, literally saying we need to revive cooperatives, make sure they are funded, make sure they have access to market. So I think the instrument of ensuring that women, youth and persons with disability are not marginalized is quite central. It has been endorsed at all levels. Of course, we have to have the capacity to make sure that it is happening. I just thought I need to talk broadly to you. Yes.
You see, you're my leader.
Yes.
I respect you. I mean, I don't want to interject you. But monitoring is your core business. So you can't leave it to GMA. Your officials must do it. They are getting paid for that. That's why it's important, it's vital for them that they must do it. If you do the assessment of the government of your officials, I guess you look at your strategic objective. What is it that your department is doing, supposed to be doing? And who are the people who are delegated to do that job? So it can be correct that the Department of Women, a full department, you're not a desk, you're a department. You will be depending to another department to execute your duties. It cannot be correct. This department is a fully fledged department with a minister and a deputy minister, with highly qualified people who are employed to do the job from 8 to 5 or from 8 to 4. What are those people doing? What are they paid for? How do they do that? Why? If they are not doing it, they are going to depend on the Department of DMT to do it. You rather enclose the department. Because that means you can't do anything, then close the department.
No. We can't close the department.
Hire people who are useless in your department, and we will start hiring right people who will be competent. And because the end, this thing leads to issues that were raised at the portfolio committee, it's becoming a record, a rhetoric, like a broken record. We can't be asking you every time when you're coming to the portfolio committee, you're telling, in fact, you're sick and tired. It's wrong for me to say that, but you're tired. Because this department is the most department which has followers who are more than other portfolio committees. More than millions of people are watching our portfolio committee every day. So, why is this disciplinary officials who are linked to work? Why are you afraid to deal with the officials who are not doing their job? Getting high salaries for what? Thank you, my leader. I don't know if that next week.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. Well, you know, Chair, you don't know how much sometimes we have benefited from your strong position of what should happen. So we don't take it in a negative light. We take it positively, and we do believe it will make our department better. I fully agree that we are not gonna, we're not expected to look away, but I was just emphasizing the importance of collaborating closely with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation so that it can enhance our capacity and our work. Just my last point as to this thing of collaborating with other relevant departments, especially those who are driving the implementing economic recovery. In writing a letter or the director general, it doesn't really give you the outcomes you desire. It means setting up an instrument which will bind both departments to account and to deliver the desired outcomes. So those are the things we need to strengthen. And I want to promise you, Chair, that I think on our side, maybe we tend to relax on how we process information, especially before bringing it to the portfolio committee. We will have to go back to our earlier discussions, Chair, especially with you, and we to really process our work carefully in the department and make sure that we account for all the things that the committee will be looking for. Sometimes I think you take more time raising questions
when you get the summaries that you get from the department, but we can improve on that one so that honorable members are assured that we take these discussions very seriously. We don't take anything for granted. The teaching will come up with specific questions. I know from people from the disability sector, they will feel I'm letting them down by not saying much. But if there's a need at the end, I will ask to come back. Thank you, Chair.
You are violating their rights because you allow it not to expand a post that are critical in that division. Okay,
yes. Deputy Minister. Yes, I'll come in. I will not respond to all the questions. I'll just add to some of the things that have been said by the Deputy Minister, and I'm going to allow managers in the department to respond in all their areas of responsibility. The issue of the council, the Deputy Minister has referred to the council also how we ended up with the issue of following the trust, which now is not working, that it was a cabinet decision. Which emanated from a cabinet committee decision of 10 December 2019. However, I met with the Director General of National Treasury and the Director General of the Department of Public Service and Administration, where we looked at if we can't register a trust, what other workable modality can we come up with. Then they promised that they'll go, National Treasury and DPSA, they'll have a meeting together and look at how can they assist us. Yesterday, I received a letter. Yesterday, in the afternoon, I received a letter from National Treasury, from the DPSA, where they indicated that together with National Treasury, they have come up with a sort of a secretariat that will be attached to the department, which will coordinate an interim structure while we are developing legislation. The challenge also with legislation, despite the fact that the cabinet has said we should follow a SANEC route, they have said because legislation takes long, so we should follow that route. So now what we have done as a department, we have appointed someone who will now focus on legislation so that we start with the process of legislation, because legislation was taken out when the government government business had requested government departments to reduce the legislation that they are going to develop within the 2020-2021 period. I think also because of the effect of COVID-19. So that's how the legislation for the council was removed from the plan of the department. However, we're taking it over, even though it will start coming to parliament in the following year, the year 2021-2022, a structure that the National Treasury and DPSA have formulated for us. They will also fund the personnel that they are recommending. So at least we'll be able to move with the current agreement that they've just given us. The other issue that I wanted to refer to was the issue, because I think some of the questions the youth section will respond to that. But I just wanted to show that I have assisted the NYDA. I signed the request to the National Treasury requesting for the funds from the youth mass employment program, and they were given over 500 million for that project. However, we have also pledged that we're going to request for more, because other government departments, for example, DPSA was given over a billion, Department of Employment and Labor were given over a billion. There are many departments that were given a billion on employment. So since NYTA is an agency that is responsible for youth, we're going to ask for additional funds.
why is it NYDA? Because in terms of the act, it is the one that is responsible for implementation. Hence, we request funds for that. But other issues of youth, what's the name? Dr. Sahana will respond to that. I think for now, let me hand over to them. I will come back and respond to what they leave out, because I want managers to take responsibility for their sections, the issues that the portfolio committee is not happy about. So I will start with Ms. Val Matorena. She's Chief Director Strategy in the Office of the DG. She will talk to performance management at risk, because there were issues raised about targets not being met. And then following that, I will request Simi to talk about issues of Simi and Benny to talk about issues of COVID-19 and issues of disability. And then also DDG Shoki and DDG Annette and the CFO, they will all respond on their areas. I had requested them to note the questions that are relevant to them. And whatever they've left out, I'll respond to them. Thank you. Val?
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee and the Deputy Minister and colleagues. I'm going to respond to the issues of non-achievement of some of the targets in the construction. The program that was mostly affected by...
Okay.
DJ, can I quiet?
Open your camera.
No. I don't know how to open it. I'm trying. Okay, retrying. It's my first time on Zoom. I'm used to Teams. So let's see. Where do I open? Oh, yeah, that's video. Okay, I've opened it and checked it. Can you see me now? Thank you so much. It's because I'm in the office. So I must open my screen for the laptop. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to look at the report and explain the non-achievement. The non-achievement chapter was in program one, and the reason for the non-achievement there was the fact that when we planned the target on the outcome of the audit under the Office of the DG, which is Departmental Management, we then included the waste clean, which led us not to achieve the target. Even though we got an unqualified audit opinion, there were opinions that were made on predetermined objectives which are related to performance information. Then we also had non-achievement on the payment of invoices within 30 days. And the issue of us not having an HR plan and approved master information technology strategy plan, which Shibit will elaborate upon when he responds to issues of ICT. Now, Chairperson, when you look at the core business from program 2 to program 5, there was a huge improvement in the achievement of targets. In quarter 1 in program 2, we had the highest non-achievement due to a portfolio of evidence having been approved out of the quarter, and they could not achieve most of their targets. But also, Chairperson, when you look at the rights of persons with disabilities in Program 4, you will see that in the past, we would bring a report that is on rate. In this quarter, they have achieved a target on public comments on discussion documents which were incorporated into their national framework on disability rights and awareness and self-representative. It was developed. So
overall tendency, this indicates that in the core business we have improved our performance. We have included a project where plaintiffs report on the achievement of their targets on a monthly basis, which helps the accounting officer to monitor if whether or not we're going to achieve our targets. Another question that I'm going to respond to is the one that is related to the risk mitigation that was not fully implemented for the rights of persons with disabilities grant. Now, Chairperson, this was additional information on government that the committee had requested us to report upon. In that program, Chairperson, they had two mitigation actions on the identified risk. One of the risks which was partially implemented is the risk of lack of mainstreaming of issues related to persons with disabilities in services, programs and infrastructure design and implementation. They have said they are going to put a control by developing a monitoring tool to assess that compliance. Now, the tool is still at the draft stage, hence we are saying the corrective, the mitigation action has been partially implemented. The next risk was poor responsiveness from reporting institutions. In this one, they said their mitigation action would be to strengthen technical planning support to reporting institutions by developing a refined quarterly reporting template. Now, that is also linked to the framework that they are developing on a draft harmonized disability reporting framework. So these are not yet agreeing. They are ongoing. Hence, we are saying they are partially achieved. But the department was found out of the audit of the previous financial year and the internal audit reports that we submit to our internal auditors. We are doing very well on risk management and we will maintain this data score. Thank you very much.
Why didn't you report on all targets as the revised APP 2020-2021?
We have there's no when we finalize the report, choose assurance confirming on the reliability of the report. We read the process so that the report that we bring here is aligned to the adjusted APP. You will recall that due to COVID-19, departments were requested to adjust their targets, and most of the targets that requires that we do a gathering such as a community mobilization and consultations which would be in the form of machinery. We have indicated upfront, Chair, that we will not be performing in this current financial year. So we have, I confirm, Chairperson, to the committee that the report represents all performance targets that were planned for quarter two, and our auditor is also with us in this meeting. He has also issued assurance. We have also filed this report to DPME as an accurate report.
You know what we'll do? Delay the meeting, but these issues are important. We are going to write formally on what exactly, which program and exactly or targets are we talking about. So we have all in writing. So that even you said your audit or your risk committee member.
And the ARC has endorsed the report.
How did they endorse the report when you have been reported on this target things. So we will write exactly what we mean, because I can list them for you. And because I'm having the report, I'm reading the report. So the first thing is to write them down, forward them to you, so that you can respond to writing also, and then make your risk committee to also account on why when they reported on these items that I'm talking to. Thank you very much. Okay. DG, over to you again.
Battery level 39%.
And Simi, can you please respond on issues of disability that were raised and will...
Thanks, DG. Perhaps I should start. Honorable Chair,
yes.
Benny speaking here.
Okay.
Yes. I can see you, Chair, don't worry. just a couple of points. There are about 5 points I'm going to respond to very quickly, and my colleague will respond on the COVID-19 aspect. To start with, the department does not necessarily issue wheelchairs. I want to say the good work that's done by members of parliament to issue wheelchairs must still continue. Because I believe that they are doing it out of their good hearts, and they're not doing it because they have to, you know. But the wheelchairs are available in the hospitals, Chair. The therapists have to take the person, measure them properly, and then make sure that they get the wheelchair that is fully designed for them to be able to maneuver around. Also, the Department of Health is actually issuing those types of forms. Much as the sunscreen, first of all, if you've got albinism, you go to the chemist, you get a script from the chemist, you go to the hospital, you get your sunscreen for free. However, the DC has asked me to start a project of wheelchairs just so that we can go into the society, into the community. And what we've done, we've gone to the IDC, the Industrial Development Corporation. We've agreed with them, and they will fund that project. We're looking at 1,000 wheelchairs that we're going to issue. We know that it's not our job, but I think it's important that we could do it. On the other hand, Chair, second point that was raised was what was achieved in the last quarter. I can tell you, Chair, we've achieved a lot. We've done work at the work streams, at COVID-19 work streams. If you look at the sub-regulations of the 2nd of April, just as we started, we were the first people to to promulgate a regulation on disability. This unit did that. And we went into other levels, and we kept on pushing the regulations right up to level one. Right now, as I speak to you, I'm dealing with level one regulations to ensure that we readdress them to disability. The third question relates to the point of the aspects around the bill. Chair, your instruction was very clear to me. You said I must set aside the white paper, take it as a policy, and start the bill. We have started, Chair. I'm not sure why the issue of the draft discussion paper was not reported on. The draft discussion paper is available. We will send it to you. Secondly, the issue paper is now available. We can also send it to you. The Minister of Justice has even nominated me to the Committee of Experts on Disability Law. And I'm sitting on the board, Chair, of that committee. As a member, as nominated by the Minister of Justice. And we are proceeding very well with the Foundation Law Reform Commission, and we have decided with your instruction to change our final quarterly annual target, that we should have at least by that time achieved the bill itself, and then we go into the Act. So the white paper is still there. We are just doing the implementation matrix just to make sure that it's properly aligned. But as I'm saying, I'm sitting on the committee of experts on this matter, as nominated by the Minister of Justice. The final point that I want to raise very quickly, Chair, is the question of monitoring and evaluation. Yes, that's an ongoing function. As I've said to you, the MNE process, it's an ongoing function. The annual performance review report, we will definitely achieve that. So we've put that for quarter four. However, for quarter two, what we've done, we've taken the aspects, in fact, into quarter three also, of inclusivity of disability aspects into all government planning processes, programs, budgeting and projects, including focal points. So I'm saying here, the department is extremely serious about this. The point that I cannot answer is the appointment of the chief director. That I cannot answer. But if you come to the point of delivery, so the reason of under-expenditure, for instance, we source things from outside. As I've said, myself and the DG have gone to the IGC. They're giving us money. Secondly, myself and DM have been out there to the centers delivering sanitary dignity, drugs, food, and other essentials, which we actually did not fund from the department. So that's the reason for under expenditure. But also, we've cut down on the traveling of persons with disabilities to come to meetings. You will see our expenditure is starting to escalate now because we are in the middle of the Disability Rights Awareness Month. So our expenditure for the next quarter will be much higher than what you thought, because what we are spending currently, 500,000 rand, for instance, on aspects of communications, your GPIS and television and media, and we are spending 500,000 rand on projects that we are doing on the ground right now, as we've done in Bloemfontein last week after we launched the Disability Rights Awareness Month. And so I'm going to be sending you an invite. Please be available on the 3rd of December at 8 o'clock. We are starting with the President. Please be available and make sure that you attend also the Presidential Working Group. In terms of social presentation and the awareness campaign framework, we've consulted 19 organizations, and the Presidential Working Group consisting of about 38 members. So you can imagine, so we literally did a round-robin type of thing, and we got very, very good feedback. So that's where we are right now, and I think that, honestly, I must say to you, it's a very serious matter. Yes, we are taking it very seriously. Myself, personally, as a blind person, will not agree with anything that is against your decision. And I'm saying it from an honest point of view. When we approach this committee, we must come with honesty as the best policy to report to this committee. Thank you, Chair. I'll just ask Timmy to report on the COVID-19 aspects.
Thank you very much, Mr. Benny, because we are right that when you come to the portfolio committee, you must respond. Because you know what you are doing now of late, the information that you gave us.
I know, sir. Absolutely. That's not my point of call of duty. However, I take your point, and I think we now did very positively. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. We've got confidence in you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good day, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, DG, and colleagues.
Oh,
this is semi-polite. This is semi-polite. monitoring, evaluation, research and reporting on the rights of persons with disabilities. So I'll speak to a few issues that include the StratPlan and APP analysis that was raised, as well as the annual reporting and the research. In terms of the StratPlan APP analysis, that is a quarter three deliverable that's done in partnership with DPME. We've already commenced with that. Most of the departments have already submitted their first draft for APPs and StratPlans 2021-22. So we've already started assessing and giving feedback on that. So we are on track to have the report of our analysis due by the end of this quarter. Then in terms of the annual report on the inclusion of persons with disabilities, this year we're doing combined report. You would have noted that our first report for 2016 was also delayed due to the unresponsiveness. It's what Ms. Val has spoken about in terms of poor responsiveness from government departments. So the first report had been delayed, and there were various reasons around that, and Cabinet kept asking us to go back to the departments to try and get as much information as we could, and that took a year. That took an additional year, and still we had departments, a handful of departments that had still not reported. So where we are right now is we're compiling a second, third, and fourth combined report on the implementation of the white paper. We've changed our approach this year so that we're having quarterly reports, and it's assisted us with getting focal points as well as departments on board in terms of the COVID tracker. It's still a struggle to get information on the COVID tracker as well. And we find ourselves constantly extending deadlines because deadlines are not being met. And we, for the annual report, we've had to extend the deadline from August to the 30th of November for national departments as well as provincial departments. And some of the issues we found there, the speaker had asked what are the kinds of findings we have on that or the experiences we're having of that, is historically information is submitted to us that's not authorized. So it's not signed off, we can't verify it, and therefore we can't use it. Or no evidence is submitted, so it's hard for us to verify whether in fact the information submitted to us is true or not. There's misalignment between policy directives and what is reported. So sometimes it's anecdotal information as though disability mainstreaming is treated as a special program, ad hoc project, as opposed to having it mainstream throughout the programs. And then, of course, there's underreporting. We don't get any information on some of the policy directives, which doesn't actually mean nothing is being done. It's just that departments are not embedding these policy directives into their report, into their implementation and their planning systematically, which is why we took the approach of assisting them with the planning. If we're only doing the monitoring, it doesn't impact on the inclusion at the planning level, which is why we're now committed to doing a StratPlan APP analysis to make sure that the disability mainstreaming is a part of their planning, so that they can have the allocations and they have responsibility managers and they are reporting on a quarterly basis. What we found is some of the institutions are saying that they are doing the disaggregated reporting to DPME. However, by the time DPME aggregates the report, they remove the disaggregation. So we're still working with them in terms of making available the report to us as well so that we can use the disaggregation rather than giving them multiple reporting obligations. So that's where we are in terms of the annual reporting. And we'll submit to you what we get by the end of this month. What has worked for us previously, Chair, especially with the baseline country report, is we had the same experience. You would remember that the baseline country report was due in 2010.
that that report was also delayed by 4 years because departments were not making the information available. So what we had done is we had asked the portfolio committee to assist us with the outstanding departments, where portfolio committee invited those departments to present to them on what they had been doing, and at that point it was Department of Transport, DTI and so on, and in so doing we were able to get that information and complete the report so that we could submit it to the UN system. So we will make available what we have after drafting the submissions that we receive on the 30th of November so that we can proceed with that and get guidance from you as to how if there's poor responsiveness again, how will we deal with that. Then we have partnered with the UN Office of the High Commissioner on Human Rights to undertake a research study on the experiences of persons with disabilities. They have funded us to the tune of $20,000. We are now in the process of, or they are in the process of signing a service level agreement with the service provider. So we are optimistic that that report findings will be concluded by February. And that essentially looks at the different types of disabilities geographically. We will have participation from all provinces so that we are able to capture a multitude of voices in terms of what the experiences have been. Thank you, Chair.
So what we need from you is for you to tell us which departments are not responding, and on what disability program are they not, and those disability programs they are not if you can write in a template with how you can ask them once the report so that you can be able. And you are taking it that you also monitor provinces and municipalities.
Not municipalities yet.
You are doing provinces.
Yes.
So because most of the time municipalities are delivering services to the people, and why you must also consider municipalities, because most of the things are happening there.
Yes.
And they've got schools. You must also check their IDPs.
Chair, if I may respond, to COCTA and SALGA, we have tried to work with the municipalities. In fact, in year three, when we were putting together the reports, we had invited all municipalities to report. We only got reports from three municipalities. What we've encouraged is for provinces and municipalities to work together so that their reporting is aligned. However, we are exploring other models to get SALGA possibly to coordinate that report for us.
Yeah, you keep on doing this because next time we will want you to give us that report. Thank you very much for your report. The next person.
Thank you, Chair. And just to add to what Simi has said, I now have meetings with the DG of both in traditional affairs and DCOG, so that we can be able to work together, so it will assist a lot in all the programs, because I meet with them with all the heads of the programs of the department. I would request DCG Shoki to respond on issues that were raised on the National Council, on the National Strategic Plan, on the implementation of the National Strategic Plan. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Good afternoon, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee and Deputy Minister. On the issue of how we're monitoring the NSP, I would like to indicate that firstly, we made a submission to the former DG in the presidency that we would like to be part of their standing agenda items for all the four sub-clusters.
and the response was affirmative. As of, I mean, since then to date, every cluster when they meet, the economic one, the social one, the governance cluster, the GCPS cluster, we are part of that meeting. We table progress on the national strategic plan. We engage DGs on areas that
are...
Karina?
We want to see your face. Yeah.
Okay. We are also then engaging them on our challenges in implementing the NSP. We come up with recommendations and DGs commit in terms of implementation. We raise areas where they are not performing well. In this instance, the one area that was a challenge was the economic cluster. We raised the issues, they committed, they even were requested to give us persons in the form of focal points who will serve in the economic pillar, because we have an economic pillar dedicated for government officials only. We teased out indicators that we believe are critical for implementation in this period. We sent out to them for alignment, and we also asked them to align the NSP to their APPs, but also to align and reprioritize their budgets for this current financial year. We further made a request to them that they should invite us to their strategic plans where we can make inputs to the issues that relate to the NSP. The DG went further to convene meetings with provincial director generals to highlight the issues of the NSP, the role that they must play, and flagged areas of concern from the side of the department, but also the issue of weekly reporting to the president. They have since committed to also report, but on a monthly basis, on matters that relate to provincial deliverables in respect of the NSP. She further went on to meet the Director Generals of the INC to also deal and engage on matters that relate to implementation, particularly in relation to the council matters, and she gave feedback in that regard. We have pillar work streams, and those pillar work streams, we have assigned senior officials in the department at the level of chief director to lead those pillars. From pillar one, we do have someone that we have assigned in the department because that talks to accountability. Pillar two, which is prevention, we have assigned it to education. Pillar three, which relates to justice, we have assigned it to the Department of Justice. Advocate Place is dealing with it. Pillar four, we have assigned it to social development. The chief director, CISAC, is dealing with it. Pillar five, we have assigned it to chief director, is dealing with economic empowerment in the department. Pillar six, we've assigned it to chief director, Madam Ranji, in the department. So in that order, we are able to stay focused and make sure that we monitor implementation. Lastly, on these issues, we do have an M&E plan that we are using now for the weekly reporting to the president. We haven't had problems or issues raised to date. Presidency is okay with the kind of template that we are using, and it gets analyzed by DPME before it gets submitted to the president for quality assurance purposes, so that there's no misalignment or misrepresentation of information. So on that note, Chair, I do believe that on the NSP we are on track. Then on the issue of sanitary and why we are not giving to others other than the school children, the earmark allocation is actually meant and approved for quintal 1 to quintal 3, and it was based on the numbers of the kids per province. That allocation was informed by that from National Treasury directly to provinces. It is also including children in some schools and special schools. So it's not an allocation outside the schools, but it's an allocation meant for the quintiles that I've already mentioned earlier on. Then there was another issue that probably DDG Annette would also add value to it on the economic recovery plan, on what inputs we have made. We dedicated DDG Annette and Chief Director Boy to serve on that NETLAC task team. particularly the one that related to enabling conditions, and we addressed a number of issues in that area, particularly that relates to the regulations, the issues of just forgot the part that I wanted to mention. Beyond the ACER cluster where we are participating, we were part of that economic recovery structure. But we addressed a lot of issues. It was regulation, but it also spoke to issues of empowerment, issues of financial inclusion, issues of skills development. We came up with medium-term suggestions, short-term interventions, but it's something that is requested. We can give a sense, particularly if we look at regulation. We elevated the issue of public procurement bill, which requires that we set targets for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. Same applies to the issues of empowerment. We made it a point that the economic recovery plan does come up with targets, has clear M&E interventions, but with disaggregated data for us to be able to report. But I will leave it to her, because they've also developed a tracking tool and a strategic framework on COVID-19. I will now hand over to DG. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you, Chair. DG Annette will respond to also issues of economic recovery and others on monitoring and evaluation.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. But let me start by talking quickly about the COVID-19 issues, the tracker and all of that. I think Mr. Kadime has indicated how we have been participating in the NAC joint work streams since April, in fact, where the issues of women, youth, and persons with disabilities have constantly been addressed, and even the issue of the declaration of PPP as essential services early on, I think it was level four, was part of our work. But what we then also developed, because we were constantly raising these issues in the work streams and in the NAC joints, and what happened with the, and here I'm also speaking in the spirit of honesty, that what tends to happen with many of these things is that we raise them and raise them, everybody agrees, but then the next time we find that the disaggregated data is not there. So we developed a strategic framework on the impact of COVID-19 on women, including young women and women with disabilities, and that's a 40-page document looking at, because we also wanted to look at what was the situation before COVID-19, and then what was the impact to the extent that we had that data, particularly in terms of issues of, as we know, there were the critical issues of food security, job losses, access to, some of the UIF grants and so on and so on. The strategic framework looked at the following. It said, looked at social impacts, including social protection, GDPs. Also, there was concern about sexual and reproductive health and rights, which is thus, saying that as part of the lockdown, some of that access was also affected, access to, with the schools being closed down, no more access to, the sanitary dignity and so on. But also the issue of unpaid care work. There were many reports that we, obviously the burden of unpaid care work was increasing. We did a SNAP survey with about 90 of our agenda stakeholders, and we got interesting results there. We did an analysis based on that feedback, and the idea was then to say, let that feed into the actual interventions that so we had, to some extent, evidence-based interventions, the economic impact. The data was particularly affecting vulnerable sectors. Informal traders, we know many women are in the informal sector. Those were shut down, but also domestic workers and vulnerable sectors, women in the services sector. Public health impact, the issue of access to PPE, including for women, health workers who are often at the front line, but also issues of maternal and child health. But we also, part of the international frameworks were saying that, now again, in the AU context, to say that we need to ensure that women have agency and voice and representation in the COVID response as well as in the post-COVID recovery. There were also evidence that we made interventions around access to public information communication. So some of the communication was only accessible to people who had data and so on. So I won't go through all the details. We tabled that framework, and we also then developed a monitoring tool. We called it the COVID tracker, which we presented to the work streams, and we requested to present to the NAC joints because, you know, this is cross-cutting. So far, that has, you know, that was declined. But we presented the framework and the tracker to the DD clusters, and we presented to three DD clusters with recommendations. And a lot of that is, as our colleagues indicated, is that the partners are not providing disaggregated data. We have been developing monthly reports since August. Initially, we were trying to do weekly and bi-weekly reports, but the generation of the data is not there. And we have been sending those reports to the presidency, and we have also sent that to the portfolio committee. There's also in-depth research work underway looking at multiple sources, and then we're also working closely with UN Women on the multi-country COVID-19 gender survey, which is currently underway in South Africa. It's also in Malawi and Mozambique. So we make inputs there into the questionnaire and the research protocol. So that's COVID, and we will continue to take that forward. In terms of the economic recovery plan, I think DDG Shoki has taken that, has raised a number of the issues there. But I think just from a content perspective, and I know we're looking at practical interventions, but we found that, often, we've been making inputs into the DG clusters and, you know, through the minister and the deputy minister. The deputy minister has also spoken about the manner in which these were discussed in the cabinet committees. But I think the key issue that is not being acknowledged in some instances is that the demographic dividend, that investing in women and youth is in itself, driving will in itself drive the recovery. So to the extent that we fail to invest in women and youth, and, you know, we've got a lot of, that has found a lot of resonance, it's a lot of evidence about that at a global level. There's also, part of the content has also aligned with South Africa's agenda at the level of generation equality and the AU chairship. As you know, our president is leading the Action Coalition on Economic Justice and Rights at a global level. And so the agenda there, and also, of course, as the AU chairship, under our president's leadership, the AU declared the next decade as the decade of women's financial and economic inclusion. And we also, so part of those priorities are, number one, preferential procurement, 30% target at a global and regional level, and then, of course, our target of 40% at the national level. So that is in the MTSF, but we've also been pushing it, all our interventions with, in terms of the economic recovery plan have also been pushing that 40%, but not just pushing it as the target, ensuring that the whole value chain is then activated to ensure that women actually do get access to public procurement. Part of that, we know also that we have made inputs into the preferential procurement bill, that pushing for that 40% target to be included in the bill and not just in the regulations. The issue of including women in trade in the context of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, that's also at the South African country level, but also, the issue of trade within the African context, the issue of access to financial services, and colleagues from the department have been working with the presidency on and UN Women in exploring the issue of the gender bond, and then of course within the world of work, We know that the very important issue of the ratification of ILO Convention 190 on violence and harassment in the workplace, it is being pushed and fast-tracked, and we expect that there would be an announcement on that during the 16 days. It's being fast-tracked at a domestic level, but also is being pushed in the AU context. And then, of course, focusing on the leadership pipeline and issue of equal pay for work of equal value, which the chairperson also raised. We are doing research and policy work on that. We have, in the past, the National Business Initiative, they have done a research study on that, and there is further work going on there. And then, of course, we know that, the issue of the Convention on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide is very important. Gender-sponsored planning, budgeting, a lot of work is underway there, and we've also been pushing that to ensure that the explicit gender targets are included, not just in the economic recovery plan, but also in the departmental strategic plans and APPs, so that they are monitored and audited, and there's oversight by the Parliament with regard to all of that. In terms of we have made, I'm going to just touch on, because I know there's time issues, I want to touch on just some of the inputs that were made by the Department, and these are consistent with the work that the inputs we've already been made. So we've spoken about the issue of the Public Procurement Bill should be explicit on women, youth, and persons with disability targets, the issue of introducing the legislation, and then financial inclusion, the importance of appropriate products to ensure that we give, especially focusing on, as the Deputy Minister said, access to finance by SMEs, township and village enterprises. Because that's also which, helps a very micro enterprise expand from being a micro enterprise to being even a smaller and even bigger enterprise. The issues of skills development are very important. And then, of course, as has been mentioned, mass public employment programs, that is critical for there to be, equitable access to women, youth, and persons with disabilities. And our department has been working, and I think that this has been reported previously, working very closely with the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, which has made a commitment so that women would get access to 50%, and then, with powers for youth and disability with regard to land ownership. We've said that all master plans, industrial master plans, should also be inclusive. So there's quite a lot there, but that's, I've just given a summary. I don't know if I should speak more about the monitoring and evaluation work of the department, if there's time. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Dr. Benny, please, as you respond, look at the time. Dr. Benet Trafala.
Thanks, DG. Good day, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, DG, and colleagues. The first one that we were asked is what have we done? Fortunately for youth, we probably won't take too much time because we recently presented to the Portfolio Committee in much more detail what our focus is. In line with what the DG has already alluded to, that the department is responsible for development and review of regulatory frameworks, our role is based on that. We are actually responsible for development and review of regulatory frameworks as they relate to young people. So, Honourable Chairperson and members, we are very clear that the role of the NYDA and ours, they are distinct. NYDA's focus is on implementation of programs. Hence, if
I'm saying that, you know, any questions that actually talk to service delivery issues, they impact more on the NYDA and different government departments. What we have done as a unit, we have been busy with the review of the National Youth Policy, which has since been approved by Cabinet. And then we have also, we are now busy with the NYDA Amendment Bill, which was presented to Cabinet Committee yesterday and will soon be presented to Cabinet before it is consulted and tabled in Parliament. We have drafted a South African Youth Development Bill, which we appraise members on what its primary provisions are. We have also drafted the Youth Responsive Planning, Budgeting, Monitoring and Evaluation Framework. However, that is going to be integrated in the current MNE framework, which we are busy developing. We have also drafted the Focal Points Guidelines, and we are currently consulting on the guidelines. On the MNE, the question that came up about is how are we monitoring the departments? Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, you will recall that a day before yesterday, we presented to you a cabinet-approved MNE framework, which we are using to monitor and evaluate the government departments. That framework has got high-level indicators, which we actually collect data on from various stakeholders. We also acknowledged the shortfalls with regard to that, because we still have problem of lack of responsiveness of other role players. So far, we are doing monitoring in provinces. We have got a plan in the newly updated MNE framework how we are going to be monitoring at local level. I have alluded previously when I was presenting to this committee that owing to capacity constraints, unfortunately, we may not be present even in local level. However, we will be using other structures such as the local youth forum, which we have established, as well as the provincial forum, which we are actually establishing in the current MNE framework to help us to monitor what is happening in provinces as well as at local level. And then the other question was related to what we are doing in the issue of research. We have been involved in the 25-year review. We ensured that there's a chapter which outlines, which focuses on youth development. And then again, we have partnered with the NYDA on the COVID-19, the impact of COVID-19 on young people report. We just received that report, and we will probably favor you with the findings of the report. The other focus is that we support our political principles on national and international stakeholder engagement. Last year, we were involved in the BRICS Youth Summit, and we were also involved in the Commonwealth Youth Meeting. And then this year, we supported our minister when attending the AU ministers meeting for youth access. So we have also been involved in supporting the AU in developing the AU Youth Volunteer Program. And in response to the question on economic recovery plan, although we are not doing direct service delivery, we have already started as a department to partner with other players, particularly in trying to address the issue of youth employment. Currently, we have presented just yesterday to Economic Cluster a program that talks to employment of young people in 4IR areas. And we are appealing to departments and other and private sector to come on board in order to try and implement that program. We are partnering with Digititan, and we have committed 68 million in that regard. There are other initiatives that we are pursuing
such as, you know, approaching the city of Tshwane so that we can actually train young artisans. So those are some of the plans that we have in place. Honorable BT also mentioned the issue of what are we doing? What is the strategy that we have in light of high unemployment rate? Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, in our national youth policy, we allude to development of a youth employment strategy. That is going to be the competency of the Department of Employment and Labor, because our president already pronounced in the State of the Nation's address that Department of Employment and Labor should actually come up with a strategy. Now that the policy has been approved, we will be pursuing the Department of Employment and Labor to come up with a strategy. We also are aware that the president has since established a presidential youth employment initiative in his office in order to try and coordinate employment initiatives. So our DG is actually currently in the process of communicating with the presidency so that we can, you know, have a discussion on what the PMO office has actually done and also what the NYDA is currently doing in order to address the issue of youth employment. So I think that is in a nutshell what we have been asked to report on, and yeah. I think I managed to cover everything. Thanks, DG, and thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Chairperson, there are two issues that we still have to respond to. The one where you asked people are not coming to work, and then the other one was on SCM. I don't remember whether it was Honorable Mpito or whoever, but yeah, it was Honorable Mpito who asked about SCMs, whether the TORs. So I've requested the CFO to respond, and HR will respond on the one of people who are not coming to work. CFO?
Thank you. Thank you, Gigi. I think the first question was around the list of suppliers not on TSD during confinement of COVID-19. I must indicate that the suppliers that were not on TSD relate to transactions that were below 2,000. And in terms of the national treasury practice note number 8 of 2007 and 2008, section 3.1 allows for fulfillment of transaction value up to 2,000 without inviting transportation by means of PTH. When the settlement of different services are limited to 2,000 happens, the unit will identify the need, apply for PTH limited to 2,000, and buy the goods that are needed from retailers or stores that are available in the market. In this instance, the CSD verification of validation process is not required. All transactions above 2,000 in the department are subjected to a competitive bidding process, and this process compels the department to use suppliers that are registered on the CSD. On issues of mitigation actions outstanding from offer 2, the committee should note that during the offer 2 of the financial year, the audit for 2019-20 was still in progress. The audit by AG was concluded on the 30th of September, and AG issued to the department with the management report with all findings during the month of October, as the development of the audit action plan was concluded by end of October, and it will start with implementation of the audit action plan in the month of December. On the issue of the framework, whether it was communicated to officials in SCF, all legislative requirements that are applicable to SCF are communicated and shared with the officials in SCM. We even, in some instances, go to an extent of providing training. What we have done thus far, since the restrictions of COVID-19 have been relaxed, we all officials in SPM, including the director of SPM, they signed the code of conduct. We are currently with the review of the policy of SPM, and once that policy is approved by the accounting officer, it will be workshopped to officials in SPM safely and all officials in the department, as we normally do with any policies that are having financial implications relating to SPM and employment. Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Basina, in my office, he has a problem with connectivity response from my office. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, I mean, yes, I have a problem with my connection. The question relating to officials who were not waiting up to 3 months. What the department has done during COVID-19 was to get the tools of trade for the officials who were supposed to work from home. We bought 52 laptops, and it was distributed to them accordingly in terms of our planning, our resource planning, in terms of the laptops. Others were coming into the office, your finance, your supply chain, and HR, because they are dealing with the transversal systems, your center, and your bus, so they are using the laptop, but the rest of them were given that. For those officials also who didn't come and have, I mean, go to the doctors, look for medical certificates that were put way beyond the months prescribed by TPSA, some of them we will froze their salaries, froze two salaries. One of the employees even took us to the labor court, and fortunately the judgment is on our side. It is came back yesterday. We won that particular case, but we froze the salary. So it's the enforcement that we're doing for people who are not coming and without any valid reasons. Because people that are not coming, there is a schedule of rotation for the employees so that they need to be working even in the system. That's what we have done. We have been reporting. So from where I'm sitting now, there's no one who's not working except the police that are saying that everyone came back to the office. So it's just one official. But the national has been referred also to the health manager, which is the police. Yeah, the service provider, yeah, so much initiative. So they are looking into it as well. They've tried. So I think that's the question that was asked to ask them. I'll see if I left one question I can respond. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. As indicated, I am in the department for 3 months. However, there is change. I am thorough in whatever I do. I am really committed. And when I said we will get a clean audit, we'll definitely get a clean audit. Also, I would just like to say that on the issue of unfunding of the cost in the RDP, we are going to reconsider and reprioritize. We'll ensure that we empower the unit of the rights of persons with disabilities. And then just to say on the issue of economic recovery and reconstruction, as the Deputy Minister has indicated, after in all the clusters that we're discussing, and here I find I would raise the hands and fight them, whatever, but you find the documents still being the same. So what we've done as a department now, we've requested UN Women to appoint 3 female economists for us. Because what I wanted to do was I want to place people physically, because that thing of writing to certain people and sometimes they don't respond doesn't work. So for example, the infrastructure office that has been established by the president, which we were informed that it will manage a budget of about a trillion, women must get 40% of that. So I am going to place a person representing the Department of Women, where we develop indicators to say a tagger doesn't go out if it doesn't address 1, 2, 3, 4. So what I'm trying to look at now is
how do we ensure that if the department that is issuing a tender continues, whereas we said do not continue, how do we deal with that? So those are some of the issues that we are looking at. But however, we are serious, and the Portfolio Committee will be proud about this department one day. I know that at the moment you are not happy, but we are working so much so that you can be happy about us. I think we've answered all the questions. Thank you, Chair, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, CG. Thank you very much, CG, for the response. The ones that we said we'll forward to the department. The other questions that you said will come forward to overall. We will forward them, and then we are trying very hard at DG, and in that department we won't enjoy yellow. We have won't enjoy yellow. We could see enjoy yellow. We want to enjoy yellow. I got society. Got a machine foot. So, but we are happy that we are tackling all those officials who are doing that in the department. And you know, in CGE, there's a commissioner also who's an economist. You know, we do have other people here in the country. We do have those skills who can also assist you. But thank you very much for all the efforts that we have done in the department. Thank you also, DM. And we are looking forward. And we'll be checking your department on how are you progressing in issues of disabled people and young people, because you know, I think our focus mainly was on women. Shoki. When we say NFP, Shoki, still one would say, at least now all of you can see that we are passionate about the issues of vulnerable groups, and we are having confidence that there will be change. What you have said, DG, now the issue is that we are serious, investigate why is it like this for so long. And at the end of the day, you'll give us the report, because it can be correct. But thank you very much, honorable members. I think we have come to the end of our meeting. I want the hands, that's why I...
Before we start, Chair.
Evo?
Yes, I have concerns here in the disability. But because now I think I will take some time. How would this be if I write this down? Sorry? I have a question to Mr. Ben. If he is talking about traveling of persons with disabilities to meetings, I just want to know, maybe it's from the budget of the disabled people, because now they were launching the awareness month. But how do we, maybe transporting them, maybe they're from Mpumalanga or the provinces. So how are they catered? Because I heard him saying even wheelchairs, and it's not their duty to do that. But always we are
practicing.
Yes, so I just want to know the budget of disabled people. How is it working, and which people are catered to that budget? Thank you, Chef.
Hi, baby. When I'm talking to you,
thank you, sir. Can I assist you?
Yeah.
It's Benny speaking. Sir, this year we're not transporting people to anywhere. We're doing a webinar with the president, and we're doing it connecting from GCIS. And everybody will be able to connect and listen to the speech of the president and watch the president on TV as he speaks to the nation. And then from there we'll have a presidential working group on disability. That's why I'm saying I'm going to send you a program, which is fairly clear and succinct in terms of that. So that's why we're not budgeting for the 3rd of December, except for the media and the few people that will be there. Now, GCIS does not allow more than 50 people inside. In fact, they've even scaled it down to 30. So, but in the next meetings, obviously we'll be able to transport them when we you know, we are extremely sure that the levels of COVID have come to a point where the infections are not actually spreading for far too long. So we'll do that. The president will speak to the whole nation, big city, and also they will be able to listen to that.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Penny.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah.
Yes, thanks.
Okay, Masondo, right? Yeah, I think we've come to the end of our meeting, honorable members.
Yeah.
We've come to the end of our meeting. Thank you, DG, for the work that you're doing in the department. Thank you, DM. And thank you, honorable members. Our meeting is at end.
Long live the chair.
Long live the